John, put that song back up for me, would you? You know, the problem with that song is this. It shouldn't have if. It shouldn't have if. The problem is, the question that stands before us today is, where are you in that song? Do you have some pain? Do you feel a little lost? Need a little freedom? Maybe a little need of saving? You know what? Maybe you just need a little fresh perspective on God's love in your life. You got chains? No, it's just how many do we have? Are they rattling? Are they shaking? I'm going to pray for us in just a moment. And I'm going to pray. Here, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to pray for. The heaviness of God to be upon us today. You know, I know that most of us spend way too much time reading garbage that we shouldn't read because it doesn't lift us up. It doesn't build us up. It doesn't encourage us. So let me deliver some heartfelt truth to you today. God is alive and doing very, very well. And the kingdom of God is advancing in this world. The salt and the light is being the salt and the light. There are people being a city on a hill. There are people excited about Jesus. There are people meeting in barns and fields. And any moment could be taken captive and their life could be taken from them. Or tortured till they find themselves. But the kingdom of God is advancing. I don't have to pray today that the move of God would happen. God's moving. Let's get in with Him. And let's get in with Him tomorrow morning. Let's get in with tomorrow afternoon, whether it be FCA basketball or baseball game, or if we're wherever we're going. Let's get in with Him. Let's join Him what He's doing. Let's die to ourselves. Most of us allow first world problems to rule our lives. I had a first world problem every day this week. I found out it was donut day at the end of the day. God help me. Well, how did I make it? What first world problem did you turn into a mountain? Today is another opportunity to join God in what He's doing. An opportunity. At the end, you'll have a chance to respond to God. It's an act of offering ourselves unto what God is speaking to us. If God didn't start speaking to us this morning, He already started. He's already stirring something up. Remember what I said? The move of God is happening. Okay? The ships that come in and out the Savannah River, they don't wait for the water to arrive before they enter and leave. They're already taking advantage of what's there. The move of God is here. I know it looks like sometimes evil is winning. Oh, God's just toying. We got to get spiritual eyes, got to have a spiritual heart. And today we need to get in with what God's doing. Let Him love on us. Let Him hold you this morning. God's up to really good things today, okay? But we're going to have to take a close look at ourselves. Today's message is titled, Sin, It's a Revival Killer. You know, God hates sin, if you haven't figured that out. I mean, He really doesn't like sin. In fact, He can't stand it to the point where somebody had to die for it. And someone had to die a brutal death. I wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus could have gone to sleep? Just kind of died in His sleep? That wouldn't have got it. That wouldn't have justified the sentence of sin that we were deserving of. So today we're going to take a quick, hard, cold look at sin being a revival killer. And we're going to use David. It's always easy to pick on somebody else. Isn't it always easy to point out the other person's sin? Isn't it always easy to find that other person that you wish they'd be a little different? Don't worry. All of us around people that wish we were the ones being different. Because I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, but we're sticking to the journey. We're not quitting. We're not believing the lie that there's no use to keep getting up and getting at it. That we're not going to believe the lie there's no use to not open the Word of God because it is alive and it is truthful. It is awesome. I read a story this week just about a gentleman. He was convicted of a relationship that he had with his father. For 20 years, they didn't speak. Man said, you need to do something about it. My dad's fault. I said, no. You're letting sin in your life, this bitterness, this unforgiveness control you. He got on a plane, flew across country for one reason only. To reconcile with his earthly father so he could be as close as possible to his heavenly father. You see, sin destroys these relationships. And we need to reconcile today that God is up to some good things. So let's look at David for a moment before we go to Psalm 51 there. This is the reason why David wrote Psalm 51. David was king of Israel. And when he was around 40, 50 years old, David decided, it says in 2 Samuel chapter 11, I'm going to tell you the story, then we'll read Psalm 51 together, that when kings went off the war, that David stayed back. That wasn't for him any longer. But he went up on the rooftop one night, and as he was walking around, he saw an attractive young lady named Bathsheba. He called her to the palace. He had an adulterous encounter with her. She became pregnant. She was married to a man named Uriah the Hittite, a man of faith, a man of loyalty, a man of trustworthiness. David impregnated his wife, sent her back home, found out she was pregnant. Uriah's off fighting the war that David was supposed to be at. Uriah is sent for. David says, come here, Uriah. Come on home for a while, boy. You've done well. Go home and be with your wife. But remember what I told you about Uriah? Faithful, loyal, trustworthy. Instead of going home to be with his wife, instead of saying, this is what I deserve, I know that God would have me resist that so I can focus on what I'm called to do. So he sleeps at the door of the palace. Long story short, he refuses to go home and be with his wife. So David comes up with a great plan. I'll have Uriah killed in battle. And that's what happens. Uriah goes back to the battlefront. David manipulates. None of us have manipulated anything, by the way, for our advantage, have we? He has it manipulated where Uriah gets killed in the battle. David thinks, I'm good now. I can just bring Bathsheba into the palace. She'll have this child. No one will ever know. Have you ever thought about that, about your sin? I have. I've thought about that many times. Who's going to know? Who's going to find out? Oh, God has a sense of humor. So what happens next? Nathan the prophet shows up and says, hey, David, let me tell you a story. And he tells David a story that's really a parable about David and what he did with Bathsheba and with Uriah. And during the parable, David gets mad. David's like, that person shouldn't have acted that way. And Nathan says, you are the man in the story. You are the one that acted like that. You are the one that sinned. And then David simply says to Nathan, I have sinned against my Lord. The baby is born. God is a just God. And he's an eternal God. That's important. Don't overlook that word eternal today, because this last part may challenge you a little bit. God says, someone, I can't let that sin get away. The baby doesn't make it. 7 days, the baby died. David's hurt. He's heartbroken. But he realizes there's something amiss. There's something wrong. And so he pens Psalm 51. And we're just going to look at verses 1 through 17. So that's the backstory as we look at these verses. Let's read. For the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. David says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me, yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. David pins that, and there's a little bit more to it, but I wanted to get the essence of the story. He pins that after the baby passes away and after this horrific incident with Uriah. He pins that, understanding that he gets it. He has sinned against the Lord. I want, as I speak to you today, as I share with you, as those words, as whatever God's pricking in your heart, I really want you to examine yourself today and say, what oppressiveness in my life is keeping me from experiencing the fullness of God? What oppressiveness in your life is keeping you from experiencing the fullness of the love of God, the presence of God, the joy of your salvation, and the fruit of the Spirit? What is keeping you from experiencing all that God has for you in a real and practical term? I'm not talking about a full bank account. I'm not talking about perfect health, the perfect job, the perfect co-workers. I'm talking about what is really inhibiting you from experiencing God right where you are today. What is keeping you from experiencing a personal revival with God? As we move along, we see what David did though. What was his response to his sin? Well, first of all, I know it sounds obvious, but I guarantee you we struggle with it. He turns to God. He simply gets honest. Like I told you in 2 Samuel 12:13, it simply says, "Then David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.'" How many times, dear old Dane here, has found another reason for me sinning to blame it on somebody else? Instead of saying, "I'll own it because I've hurt you, God. I've hurt you, God." David simply becomes honest and says, "I can't hide anymore. I can't hide. Got to be honest. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." He's crying out to God to say, "Listen, this sin has separated me. This sin has caused me to not have that closeness to you. I need to experience your love again. I need to experience your great compassion. I need to experience this, to remove this sin." And I want you to know something about Psalm 51. I think this is so cool. Not one time does David ever say specifically about his sin with Bathsheba. Do you know why? Because it wasn't about Bathsheba. It was about what led him to make a bad choice. What is David known for in the Old Testament? He's a man after God's own heart. You tell me where you think his heart was when he was up having that midnight stroll, where he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be with his men, leading them into battle. But instead, David decided that he had a better plan. David's heart had left God, and then there was the availability of temptation. When your heart is after God, when your heart is longing and wanting to love Him more and more, I believe something supernaturally happens, and that is this. I think God literally supernaturally says, if your heart is after me, then you can't see all the possibilities that aren't me around. I believe that you can cry to God and say, "I need a heart after you." But he has to turn to God, not to his own ideas. Look what happened when he turned to his own ideas. Uriah died, a faithful, loyal servant. The man would rather sleep on the doorstep than go home and be with his family. Man, I tell you what, that's the kind of people I want to surround myself with. David had an army of them. His arrogance caused him to miss something that God had put right before him. His heart had left the pursuit of God. So he has to turn back. And then, number two, he prays for cleansing. "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." This is where I think it's so crucial. Remember, I was praying the weight of God would be upon us today. You may have had a bad week, a good week, a week, whatever you want to call it. You may have missed donut day. I don't know. Okay? But good news, there's still donuts. But he cries out, "Not to forgive me of this sin, wash away all my iniquity. God, get rid of everything in me that's not of you. Cleanse me to the very depths of my heart." And I think sometimes, church, we run past that. Like next week we'll be doing communion and we'll have an examination time. I think sometimes we start at the wrong end of sin. And what I mean by that, "God, I got angry with my wife or my husband. God, I said some words I shouldn't have said. God, I even had some thoughts I shouldn't have thought. God, I even looked at something I wasn't supposed to look at." And I'm telling you right now, it has to be, what is the starting point? How did it get in on you? What led you to think like that? What led you to say that? Where's your heart after God? "Cleanse me from all of my iniquity. Get rid of all of my sin. God, I am perverted. It isn't just about Bathsheba. I sent a man to his death. I wasn't there for my people. How can they follow a king that's at home messing around with another woman when they're counting on me to lead them to conquer the land that I have been given the privilege to do? What do you think you're in Savannah, Georgia for anyway? What do you think you're at that job for anyway? What do you think you're in that family that you were probably born into, maybe you married into anyway? Cleansing is also a clearinghouse. Cleansing is fresh vision. Cleansing is the experiencing of the fullness of God in a palpable way. It's real. It is very real. But it's got to be all or it's nothing. God doesn't play with sin. Why do we play with it? Why do we rationalize it? It is a revival killer. David's heart had to be cleansed of everything, not just one act. And number three, what's he do next? He confesses the seriousness of his sin. He says that he can't get the sin out of his mind. He says that his sin is against God. David vindicates God, not himself. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you're right in your verdict and justify when you judge. You know what? That how I see that a little bit? David is saying, you should send me to hell. What I've done is vile and evil, and it's against you and you only. It hurt Bathsheba. It hurt a child. It hurt Uriah. That's true. But it was really against God. And God, you do have the right to punish me as you see fit. And God, I understand that this is something I don't play with, that it's real. David understands that he was born into this sin and he needed a deliverer. That he was crying out. I want you to think about something. David had already been with Goliath's situation. He'd already been anointed king. He'd already escaped Saul. He'd done a lot of really cool things already. But apparently somewhere along the way, David decided David was all that David needed. And that heart started to get a little calloused to the presence of God. You know what I think happens to me? I won't quit. I'll quit using you guys as an example. I'll just use me. You know what happens to me kind of when things start going well? I notice that my language changes. Not in a bad way. Not a bad. But it's kind of like this. God, I'll get around to it. God, I know I should spend a little more time in your word today. I know. God, I know that so-and-so texted me about that prayer request, and I'm going to pray for it. You see, sin for Dane becomes I get around to it. Remember what I told you in point number two about all the iniquity? If God's been prompting your heart to spend more time in His Word, and you're not doing it, if God's been asking you to up the prayer, up the boldness, up the holiness in living, He's not playing. It's not a suggestion. You know words you're never going to hear? Well, that was a good thought, good and faithful servant. Well, that was an okay intention, good and faithful servant. Well, I know you tried really hard that day, good and faithful servant. Well, I know you got those pain in the behinds around you, and you just did all that you could do. God sets the bar, not us. And He doesn't play. I believe one of the reasons why we've lost our effectiveness in the United States of America as followers of Christ is this. We've bowed the knee to whatever somebody else says a follower of Christ should be like. And He's the standard. He's the standard. He is the standard. Peter tells us in his book, be holy as He is holy. It's not a suggestion. That was not a suggestion. Figuring out what's on the latest binge watch on TV or to stay up late watching stuff that could lead you to look at something you're not supposed to. Holiness, holiness, holiness. We sing a song. He confesses the seriousness of his sin. David admits it, and he admits it's not just against God, but he even admits that part of it has to do with his mercy. Are you taking God's grace and mercy for granted? For granted. It's there. But are you taking it for granted? He confesses the seriousness of his sin. But then what does he do? He does what we need to do today, and probably tomorrow, and probably Tuesday, and probably a few days after that. He prays for renewal. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. God, my way didn't work. My heart has become hardened. I've got some bitterness. I missed you. I stopped longing for you. I start having a heart after you. I stopped worshiping you. I stopped attending church. I stopped being part of a small group. I decided I didn't really need accountability, that I had it on my own, but now I'm just back to the way I was, but I don't think I can confess that to anybody. I've decided that first world problems will dictate my life. I've decided that the kids aren't really, they really are crazy. I've decided that, I've decided that I think I'll be a little more like Eve, and the fruit sure does look good. And one bite really isn't going to hurt that much. You understand, back in the garden, if Satan could have, he would have killed both of them. He didn't have permission to kill both of them. So what did he go after? He went after their worship. Eve worshiped a lie. He went after their heart. He's after your heart. Why do you think temptation looks so good? Why do you think it looks so enticing? Why do you think Duck Donuts puts all those pretty pictures out of their donuts? And they're awesome. It really doesn't hurt that much to watch that TV show that only shows 3 minutes of nudity, where that other show shows 6 minutes of nudity. It really doesn't hurt that much to watch that movie because they only say those words a few times. But that other show that I decided not to watch says it a few more, but I'm not going to watch that. Or, here's my favorite for me when Cameron was younger. I'll keep the remote in my hand, and that way when he walks in the room, I can change it real quick. That, I'm telling you right now, church, is the view a lot of us take on sin. I got it covered. I'll just flip the channel. No one will know. But you know what happens? He knows, and I know. And then I know there's something missing. I know there's something missing. I need a renewal. We need a renewal. You need a renewal. Savannah needs a renewal. What if you are the renewing instrument today in somebody else's life? What if you really do? Just let God, just if you went 10 through 13 today with me, if you really looked at 10 through 13 and said, "Yes, Lord." What did we just say? We say, "Trade my sorrows." And we just said, "Yes, Lord," a whole bunch of times. What if you really said, "Yes, Lord," but this time, instead of adding all of our strings and our what-ifs and our buts and I could and I might be, you just simply start it with, "Yes, Lord." And the last. David discovered that God had crushed him in what? In love. And that a broken and contrite heart is the mark of all God's children. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. Did David say anything about offering money or resources or time or abilities or talents or spiritual gifts? Did he mention any of that? David cut right to the heart. This is what, God, you can use. This is what honors you, God. This is what brings you glory. This is what sees your name exalted. And by the way, God, this keeps me where I'm supposed to be. My sacrifice, oh God, is a broken spirit, a brokenness in humility, in hunger, and a contrite heart that says, God, without you, I'm in big trouble. And God, you won't look the other way on somebody that's humbling themselves, that's crying out for mercy and crying out for grace. But I want to challenge you with something this morning. Are you willing to do it more than once? Because I told you, God's expecting a response from you today. Whether it be on those cards, whether it be in our brief ministry time, maybe this will show if you're broken. Maybe this will show you, do you really trust Him? Maybe this will say, you know, God, I got some fears. I got some uncertainties. God, they just kind of rule me. They're my Bathsheba. I don't want to look at those anymore. I want to fix my eyes on you. I want to be exactly where you want me to be. But it can't just be one time. We're not coming today in response to say, I'm sorry. We're coming with a heart and hands that says, you're it, God. You are worth it. You are worthy of it. You're worth all of it. And I want to want you. You know, one of the great things about all of us here is we all stand on level ground before the cross. You know what's so the irony about some of this, I think, sometimes is this. One of the greatest revival killers that evil has against us, especially in the American church, is shame. If somebody knew what you did, if somebody knew what you thought, if somebody knew what you wanted to do, shame. God is a destroyer of shame. He is a destroyer of lies. He's a lifter. He is so much more. He is everything and more than that song we just sang a few minutes ago. Our heart needs reviving. Our heart needs reviving. Our heart needs renewal. And so the people around you. I can't tell you the number of times that during the week I'm right here. Right here. Face down. Face down. Right here. Right there. And I usually pray something like this. God have mercy. God have mercy. God have mercy. You might be saying, on what? That's the point. That's the point. God, I want my resources to be available to you at all times. God, I want my dreams to be your dreams. What does it say in Psalm 37, 4? Delight yourself. You know what that really means? My heart gets excited about God. Is your heart excited about God? Is your heart excited about the things of God? Let me tell you, last night downtown Savannah, there were ghost tours, witchcraft going on, voodoo, prostitution, abuse going on. That's a fact. But I also want you to know that this soft and light is taking it serious to push back the darkness. Real serious. Real serious. God have mercy. God have mercy. God have mercy. My sacrifice, oh God, is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. You, O God, you, God, will not despise. You can trust His love. You can trust His tender touch today. About 2 weeks ago, I heard God say this. It's going to sound really corny, but it won't sound too corny to the parents. I heard God say this. Why don't you just crawl up into my lap and let me hold you? Now, obviously, literally, I couldn't do that. Kathy tried to hold me. She dropped me. I don't know. I'm lying. That's true. I confess that sin. I lied to you just then. That wasn't true. I had to make sure you were still paying attention. But the first part was true. Tell me something. Parents, grandparents, why do you want to hold the children and grandchildren? It's interactive time. Why do you want to hold them? Because you love them. What else? Comfort. Hold them close. Yeah. It wasn't to get something. It was to be something. I'm going to pray for us. The altar is open. God is expecting you to respond to Him in some way. You can sit there, or you can bring up as an act of worship your offering, your tithe, or your prayer card. You know, I don't know how many people got prayer cards, but the truth is we should have a prayer card for probably, we should have a lot of prayer cards. We should. It's a privilege to share that. You know, during the week, if God pricks your heart, pray for my heart, would you? Okay? I take some dents and dings. Okay? Real ones too, not first world ones. Not because someone screwed up my order at a restaurant and I think it's the end of the world. Okay? How many times do you do that, seriously, in life? Some little thing, oh my gosh. So I'm going to pray for us. Response time. What's God's stern? Lord, I thank you today. You're offering a renewed heart. But God, you're also offering a cleansing. You're offering mercy and grace on your terms. God, I pray today that we would be honest with you. God, is our heart really after you today? Why isn't it after you? What are we afraid of if we give you our heart? I pray you strike that fear down. What response is God asking of you today? This time is for you, Dusty and Audrey, and Kathy and I will be up here. Regina's be here. Rick's out at Jasper Springs preaching, so he was on call. We put all this before you, Father. Amen. We're going to pray for our graduates at this time. So Luke and Ryan and Ivy, and do we have anybody else that graduated high school or college? No, no, Stuart, we're not recognizing you today. So he had his hand, he was like, Joshua has, he's not here right now. Josh has left the building. And there was one more young man named Pierce Thomas who comes to our youth. He attends another congregation. So we want to pray over these young people. This is, and I promise you, I'm not just saying this either. This is an exceptional group of young people. Okay? I mean, top notch. And so we want to give you guys a little something today. We want to pray over you. Tell Josh I gave his card to somebody else because he deserves it. if your family's here, if you want to come on down with these guys and girl, and we'll pray for you guys. I don't have to say this, but I'll say it just because I like to hear myself talk. The world that they're entering as adults is absolutely opposed to their godly value system and their godly morals. But I can tell you right now, these three, they're not going to be, they are the salt and the light. They are the salt and the light, building up on a firm foundation. Because let's see, since birth, since one or birth, known all three of them their entire lives. And in spite of that, they turned out okay. Just want you to know, I didn't pick on them at all. Okay, I'm lying again, I confess it. So let's just pray over them. You guys can join me from back there. You guys join hands so I can just kind of pray over you as one. Here, just give your money to your mom. She needs it. Well, Lord, as I lift up Ivy and Luke and Ryan, and we do lift up Josh and Pierce, God, have mercy on them. God, I praise you that they know you, that they know you well, and that they are growing in knowing you. I thank you and praise you for that today. But God, we cry out today, prepare a place in the next season that where they're not alone spiritually and that they know that your presence is with them, your abiding presence. And God, as I know, there will be weeping and gnashing of tears here in a few weeks by parents and loved ones, that God, you're a God that doesn't just have a plan, you're executing a plan. And you are going to use them as salt and light, a city on a hill. God, they're going to different places. But God, praise be to God. They claim the name of Jesus. Praise be to God for that. I ask your protection over them, their hearts, their minds. Lord, I pray that you would remind us this body of Christ has a responsibility. And that is, as they come to mind or their family comes to mind, pray for them right then and there. It might be life or death. We don't know. God, I lift this up before you. I thank you for them very much, and I'm going to miss them immensely. I do love each one of you very, very much. And I thank God for you. Now may the blessings of God be upon you. May His hand be upon you. May He use you in ways that you cannot possibly grasp or understand at this point. May you be bold for Him, and may you be holy before Him. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you guys. I'm going to pray for us as we go out. I want to make sure we pray for Maria Blaho today. She is not feeling well at all. In fact, she's in the hospital. She's having trouble with her lungs and her asthma. Okay? And make sure before you go out today, you talk to Corey and Josh Morris. Corey is Doug Dorman and Doug and Joan's eldest daughter. They're here visiting. If you know Doug, you should pray for Corey a lot and Josh a lot. So they are right next to Dusty. So that visiting couple, they've traveled a great distance to be with us today. But I am going to pray for us, and I am going to pray for Maria. It's a serious thing going on right now, so we want to intercede for her. Father, your presence is with us, and I thank you for that. God, praise be to God. We don't leave here and leave you behind. God, go with us and make yourself known through us. Lord, I do lift up Maria today. I told her we'd be praying for her this morning. I do ask for your mercy and grace upon her body, upon her spirit. God, heal her in all the ways you want to heal her. We thank you for her. We pray your blessing on and over her. And God, I do pray for that restoration of health to come soon and very soon. Guard our hearts and our minds for us as we leave this place, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.